thank him for so much, to praise him for, you see, he's been so good to me. When I think of what he's done and where he brought me from, I've got so much.
Thank him for this morning. Has he been good to you today? Do you love him with all your heart? Isn't it good to be in church? Isn't it good to be a Christian? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, God is so good to us. We had church here last night, didn't we? How many of you enjoyed the word of the Lord? And I just got a feeling it's going to be good today too. Amen. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. Play some more of that, guys.
So much to thank him for.
say praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer requests this morning. Rachel Arrett injured her ankle. They're asking that we would remember her in prayer today. Also, Brother Daniel's mother's going to be traveling in today. You got to pick her up at the airport and just asking for traveling mercy. So let's remember that prayer request this morning. I want to pray for Randy Willis. He has a real bad sinus infection, unable to be in this service today. So we want to remember that prayer request. Sister Anna Shipley says, I want to thank the saints at the church for your prayers for my son during his accident. He is doing really good. The doctors are amazed at how fast he is recovering. May God bless you. So she wants to thank the Lord for that. Brother Jackie and Sister Betty, they have an unspoken prayer request they'd like for the church to pray about. And also want us to remember their daughter, Kendra Scott, who is still having issues with her stomach and liver. So let's remember that prayer request this morning. I want to pray for Brother Tommy Dillard. He needs a touch from the Lord, has suffered an aneurysm in his head. He is in therapy, so let's remember that prayer request as we pray today. Sister Linda Turner sends this in. Would you put in a prayer request for Bill Turner this day? He's having open heart surgery on Monday morning. Sister Hannah and Sister Jessica, his grandfather, thank you so much. We'll just commit that unto the Lord today. Ask God to be with those folks during this time. I want to pray for Brother Brett Lawson. He's homesick. Also an unspoken prayer request. Sister Charity Lawson sends that in. The doctors say my friend Gavin won't survive. I told his mother that hope may seem gone, but faith is it. The prayer of faith shall save the sick and God shall raise him up. Brother Keith Phillips sent in a prayer request last night for that man that suffered a severe fall, and the doctors are saying what they're saying, but well, the Lord may have something else to say. We just commit it unto the Lord. I want to pray for Sister Christine Baker, who's having a lot of neck pain. Let's remember her in prayer today. Also, want to pray for Brother Moyer's brother from Ohio. He's in very bad shape. They're planning on removing his kidneys if God doesn't move. So let's remember that prayer request as we pray today. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need, we're serving a God that's bigger than our problems, aren't we? Our problems seem awfully big at times, and we're almost overtaken by them. But I want to tell you something. God has got the answer to whatever your situation is. You believe that this morning? Let's stand to our feet. Brother Terry, come this morning. Invite the presence of the Lord into this service. Let's commit all these needs unto our Lord today.
Let's join our faith together as we pray again. Aren't we happy to be back in the house, Lord, just one more time? With the violence around the world, we know when times are short, but we certainly want to capitalize on every opportunity. So let's just take advantage of it. Heavenly Father, as we come this morning, truly our hearts rejoice because we know that we are coming before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We invite your presence this morning. Lord, it would just be a gathering if there would be no focus in our gathering here, just to have a meeting of some kind of a club. But Lord, this is a house of God. We ask, Lord, as we come into the house of God, that you would wash us and cleanse us and purge us. Lord, we know that like the original priests, when they would be consecrated for service, the prophet would wash the priesthood, and that would be a one-time deal. But when they go in for daily ministration, they had to wash their hands and their feet before they could offer up the incense and so forth. The Lord, defilements along the way of life, wash us again this morning, dear Jesus, our hands and our feet, so that our communion and our fellowship would be right with you. Purge us again, Lord. We ask forgiveness and the humility of our heart, Lord. We've made mistakes, and we desire, Lord, to be reconciled back to you in perfect fellowship. Lord, these requests that I hold in my hand, many local brothers and sisters of our faith here in our church and our assembly, they have specific needs, and they've been read, they've already been mentioned, and I pray that you'll undertake in behalf of each one. Lord, we just know that the promise has already been given, and the remedy has already been made, but you just ask one thing: can we appropriate that faith to believe for the desired result? And I believe there's faith in the building tonight. Grant it, Lord, that we might receive testimony of your healings and your touch and deliverance. Pray as you anoint Brother Donnie to speak this morning, as he mentioned last night, what you've laid upon his heart to give us. Lord, may it be just real spiritual food in due season. Oh, God, we just thank you so much. We're just happy, Lord, that we can put our feet under the table, as it were, and dine, come and dine around the Master's table, come and dine. The table's been spread. Lord, give us a 7-course meal this morning. God, we'll just thank you for it. We'll praise you for it. And we know that you're an ever-present help in a time of need. Thank you for touching these requests. We believe there'll be testimony from it. Grant us a wonderful service today. We'll praise you for it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here today, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming, we pray this service will be a blessing to those folks as well. We have a baby dedication this morning, so I want the brethren, if they will, to be making plans to come onto the platform. We're going to have Brother Caleb give us that song that he sang last night. I want him to redo that this morning. How many of you enjoyed that song last night? And then Brother Brandon has a song for us. So if those brothers will come onto the platform and be getting ready, it takes them forever to get set up. And no, not really. But we just we want to give them plenty of time. We don't want to feel no pressure. Because it's a bad feeling to be sitting here looking at somebody and they know you're looking at them and they're not ready and you're just, everybody just says, what's the problem here? So we don't want that this morning. Let's give our brothers a nice hand as they come this morning to give us a song. Praise the Lord. I saw this, somebody had put this on Facebook. I'm going to take just a second to share it with you the other day, and I thought it was just so good. It reminded us of the Lion King that Brother Donnie talked to us about. A little baby bear had got separated from its mother and was just trying to get away from a big lion that was in pursuit of it. And every which way you'd go, the lion was right there waiting on it. And finally it walked as far out on a limb as it could go, and the limb broke and the little bear fell into the water. Down the stream, Brother Terry, it went. Every rock that he'd come to, the lion was right there waiting on it. So finally it came to a place. The little bear climbed got out of the water and was sitting on a rock, and here come the lion. So that little baby bear just started growling with all that it had. And just in a second, that lion tucked its tail between its legs, dropped its head, and started walking off. And the rest of that story, the camera showed about a 10-foot mother grizzly bear that was in behind the baby cub growling and had its head. I just thought, Satan may think he's got us, but we got a big daddy that's behind us every step of the way. We got a big brother that's behind us every step of the way. Every time you fall, get back up. Every time you make a mistake, get back up. You got a big brother that's behind you all the way. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Something he told him. I want you to sing it good today.
Let's sing it with him if you will.
Something keeps holding me every day I see, helping me faithfully to overcome my trials.
He's guiding me constantly.
Oh, hallelujah.
He's giving me victory.
Well, it's a reality. Jesus is holding me. it to him, church.
The pool I fell was more than I could bear.
A big hand as they get ready to sing. You can be seated this morning.
can only tell you this. He did it all for you and me. I can only tell you this. He did it all for you and me.
Try a little song here. Brother Joe Hara sent me this song. It's been a long time ago, probably at least a year ago. And if he knows it, he can come up and help us. And his daddy just said he can sing it. I was just kind of running through it back there in the back, and I heard Caleb standing in the corner singing a tenor. I said, "You're coming up with me." He said, "I step right into that one." In a small town many years ago, a man beckoned Jesus to his house. Would he go? For his daughter was sickly and dying she lay, and Jesus soon made his way. The crowd that had gathered in numbers were great as Jesus made his way through the gate. But he knew in his heart another need must be met, so he pressed on through the crowd. Have you ever touched Jesus? Have you drank from the well that will never run dry? He will heal the sickness of sin in your soul, and by faith he will make you whole. Another woman who lived in the same little town, all her life had been sick, to her bed had been bound, and she heard that Jesus was coming today, so she slowly made her way. The crowd that, and then she saw him, the one who would take away all of her sin. And then she reached out and touched him, and he turned to see and said, "Who has touched me?" Have you ever touched Jesus? Have you drank from the well that will never run dry? He will heal the sickness of sin in your soul, and by faith he will make you whole. Won't you reach out and touch Jesus? Will you drink from the well that will never run dry? He will heal the sickness of sin in your soul, and by faith he will make you whole.
And I certainly appreciate our songs this morning. Had more songs than we've got time to get, but we'll work those in at a later. Somebody, a visitor here last night, wanted to know who are all these guys? Where do they come from? I said, "Well, they everyone go to church right here." And he found that quite amazing. So God has blessed us with some wonderful, wonderful talents here in the church. Amen. Amen. I'm going to let you remain seated because we got a baby dedication. So just remain seated, if you will. Let's sing this chorus as our pastor gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord. I'm looking forward to the preaching this morning. Are you? Amen. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all.
That reassurance way down in my soul. Amen. Got it all in control. Thank the Lord. I'm so glad we believe that today. We'll have Brother Keith and Sister April Dunbar, if they bring their little baby boys forward, we'll dedicate him to the Lord today.
Bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring the little ones to
praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Lord Jesus, I know as this brother and sister stand here today, I have to be so happy and so grateful in their hearts. They waited, Lord, and prayed, sought you, asked you to give them a child. And you always stand today with another answered prayer. It proves to us once again, you still answer prayer. Lord, I pray as they bring him to you today, Father. Dear God, they have accepted the awesome responsibility of being parents in this age. Lord, I ask you that you would help them in the days, the weeks, the months ahead. Dear God, to be able to comprehend and understand what responsibility that they have taken upon themselves. By being willing to enter into a further stage than just matrimony and marriage, to enter into a stage of fatherhood and motherhood. May you help them, Lord Jesus, to input upon his little life those things of character, those things of worth and value. May you help them, Lord Jesus, anoint them, dear God, with the word of this day to be able to produce, help produce a son of God in this day that has the character of the Word. Dear God, I pray that you'd keep him. Time should tarry that he'd be old enough to be able to know his choice to make right from wrong. Help him to be able to make it when he's young, before the scars of sin and before the evil days come upon him, dear God. Keep him from the sickness and the diseases that are so rampant in the age that we live. We dedicate his little life to you today for a life of service in Jesus' name. I guess he said his own amen. Let's stand together. I generally like to wait till I get done before I say mine, but I guess he said enough had been said. St. John chapter 1, verse 1. I want to speak to you today on walking in the light. Amen. We'll read John 1, beginning verse 1 through verses 5, and then we'll read 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, this is pretty serious, isn't it? If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and the word fellowship is koinonia, which is intimate fellowship with Him, not knowing Him at a distance, but real fellowship. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Notice how it says this. It doesn't say that we say the truth, but we do not the truth. And then he says in verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Jesus, as we approach You today through the channel of prayer, we're asking, Father, for Your sovereign and divine control in this service. We're asking that You would anoint us with Your presence. May that which was from the beginning, who moved upon the face of the deep, may You move upon us today. May the presence of God drive back our darkness, our fears, our unbelief, the things that would hinder us, Lord. May we be able to receive from You. Help me that I can get out of the way. Help me, Lord, that I can be able to convey this thought that You've placed upon my heart in a way which is understandable, in a way which can be comprehended, Lord. We look to You because we know that You are the author of our lives. Speak to us today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. So the way we overcome as God's children is by submitting ourselves to God, resisting the devil, and he will flee from us. That submission, of course, involves God's Word. God's Word for our lives. God's Word for our age. Amen. Our time. I don't think that people fully understand and comprehend that when they turn down spiritual light, that they are actually turning down God. It's not as if though that we have a choice, that we can dissect this Bible and to be able to take it apart in sections or phrases or lines and pick out which parts we like and which parts that we love, and the parts that we don't think that we need, we simply just ignore them. Neither can we, in the same way, sort through light or illumination and be able to pick from the light of the day that part which we like or that part which we prefer. It is not enough for people to love Jesus the Savior. It's wonderful to love Jesus the Savior.
But there again, that is being selective. To be able to love the attribute of God's mercy through Jesus the Savior and not accept Christ the Logos is selectively to choose what part you want. Now we know in reading the Bible, even before it was Bible, whenever it was in God's thoughts, in His being, in the eternal, that God had a great plan and a great program for His people in eternity and also in the element of time. And we know that prophecy is actually built stone upon stone, or revelation upon revelation. And God allows the revelation to be released sometimes one prophecy or one stone at a time. It might be released in very, very slow increments of time. He might say something and let it go for hundreds of years before He would add another stone on top of that stone. The original promise of God that God Himself made was the promise in Genesis 3:15 that there would be a serpent bruiser that would come upon the earth. God was very, very held back in giving that promise. Not very much information at all. But yet God released. Now this is the initial foundation stone of messianic prophecies. It is the initial foundation stone of the messianic deliverance. It is actually the entire deliverance and redemption of the whole plan of God. Yet it does not contain all the fullness of what God wishes and desires to do. You say, what in the world has this got to do with us overcoming? Absolutely everything. Because if we're going to overcome, we've got to know what to submit to and how to submit in order to be able to resist. If submission releases or empowers us to resist, we have to know what to submit to and what we must submit to and how we must submit in order to be empowered to resist the evils of the day. So the initial foundation stone which God Himself laid was this simple, simple, profound promise in Genesis 3:15 that there would be a serpent bruiser that would come. He would bruise the head of the serpent and the serpent would bruise his heel. Now what God does, then God goes on for quite some time. He doesn't say anything more about it. He simply lets it go on. But then God releases a little bit more of the promise. Now, whenever the promise, many, many years later, it is projected by the mind of God that Abraham's family will be the family chosen in all the families of the earth that will be the recipient of this promise. They will be the ones by which this promise will be made to live in their life. So God expands the promise. So in Genesis chapter 12 verse 3, God expands the promise of Genesis 3:15. Now He doesn't repeat the same promise of Genesis 3:15, but He only expands that promise in a more revealed or revelated form. Then whenever He reveals it to Abraham's family, then after Abraham has gone on and God doesn't really expound a whole lot more where it will go from Abraham to Isaac. Isaac is one of those silent type of characters in the Bible that not near as much is said about him as was about Abraham or will be said about his son Jacob. But he is very, very necessary and essential. He's a very quiet type of individual in the program of God. But yet we need those type of individuals. He's not just a carrier per se, and yet he was. He was one who received the promise from Abraham, and his son will be a greater manifestation than he was, but he was very essential to the program of God. Yet in this program of God, God chose Abraham, then to Isaac, then to Jacob. Now as it comes down through, then Jacob, of course, we know Jacob is very famous in the Bible. A lot is said about him. But then it is quite unclear from that stage where the program of God will go. Because out of Jacob comes his 12 sons. Now, so we have to watch and see what God will do. Now, it's amazing because after God writes of the life of Abraham, Sarah dies 127 years old. Then the Bible tells us that Abraham takes another wife. Her name is Keturah. Out of Keturah comes Sarah. sons, comes daughters, comes the Midianites, come all these different ones. Now God has an assortment of Abraham's sons by which he can advance the program of God. But it is already revealed to Abraham by Christ the Word that the which one of the heir it should be. So Abraham gives out gifts to the sons of Keturah. Abraham gives out sons or gifts to the rest of those that were of his progeny, naturally speaking. But Abraham gave all that he owned unto Isaac. Now here, whenever the program of God is further revealed, that it would come through the line of Isaac. Yet the silence of God remains there for many years in the way that it will be until it is revealed to Rebekah that Jacob will be the one that out of him will come God's choice. Then Jacob goes to fathering children. Well, the promise remains silent for quite some time. But then God begins to expound upon this, and God lays another stone upon the initial stone of Genesis 3:15. And he says in Genesis 49 verses 8, 9, and 10 about the prophecy out of one of these tribes or one of the sons by which the advancement of the promise of God will be continued. And that was, he uses this name Shiloh, and he calls it Shiloh. Our English word would be Shiloh. And he said, a lawgiver will not depart from Judah, and the scepter will not come out of his hand until Shiloh be come. Now here then we see God lays another stone on top of the initial building stones. And what is God doing? He's lacing together a story. But he's not really, you know, making it plain and visible where anybody can just be able to pick up the Bible and be able to read it. So what we see then is that out of that, then we go for many, many years. Now there'll come a king, there'll come another king, it'll come on down for many, many hundreds of years, and God will remain silent as far as the foundation of which way he's going to go. And then in 1 Samuel, we know that God then chooses a man who is after his own heart, called David. And God makes him a promise that of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. So then we see the messianic choice of the tribal lineage by which Christ will set upon the natural throne in the millennium was to be the son of David. So what we see then is that from the pages of the Old Testament, that the written word is ever developing itself. Now, the way that God allows the word to develop is if though that the developing of the image comes from the negative in the way that we view it, and it becomes more clear to the positive. But what is the developing agent by which God chooses to develop the word and bring it into further understanding? Well, the agent that God chose was the agency of light, that God would use light. Now, God could have chose schools, he could have chose Bible classes, he could have chose all different kinds of things in order to make his plan further known. But God chose light. So what is light? Light is commonly referred to as understanding. So God would give light and run a parallel with that to understanding so that God himself would control this. Now, if it was the understanding of man, then man would be able to take the Bible and read in the Bible, and the more he would read it, the more he would understand, the more he would memorize it, and then that would put man in charge of dispensing understanding. But instead of God putting man in charge of it or a church in charge of it, God decided he would be the sole one in charge of light. Now, let's go back, if you would, to John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Now, I want you to notice, John does not say, in the beginning was the Bible. But in the beginning was the Word. Now, one day when the earth catches on fire, our Bibles will burn. Whether you have your Bible in an MP3 format or on a disc or on your computer or your iPod or your Samsung phone, wherever you have it, God does not make a promise that he will protect all Bibles from annihilation. Praise the Lord. But yet the Word is eternal. Hang on now. But the Bible is not eternal. In the sense of the Bible being written down. Now, the Bible has been given to us, and how we thank God for this. Most of you probably reading the King James Version and how we're grateful for it. And yet, for the many men who sacrificed their time and their lives and all of this to bring the Bible, we are so grateful. But in the beginning was not the Bible. In the beginning was the Word. Now, if we are to overcome in this age, we must be synchronized spiritually with the illumination of Christ, the Word. Not just the Bible alone. Now, having the Bible is a wonderful thing, but without the Spirit of God anointing us and pointing us in the direction of what God has on His mind for this Word, we will be no more than any other church. We'll just read the Bible, we'll make our doctrines, our creeds, and this is what we believe in. This is what we do, and this is what we don't do, and we will only be another church among the thousands here in the Tri-Cities area. And then people will pick out which one they want. Well, I'll go here this Sunday, and I'll go there next Sunday, and I'll go here the next Sunday, and we'll be no different than anybody else. But if we will be able to receive from God the illumination of life and be able to know what God has on His mind for this hour, then it will be that which will make us different than other churches. It will be that which will make us different, like it made Paul different, like it made Luther different, Wesley different. Was Wesley the only preacher in that day? There was many preachers in the day of Wesley. There was many preachers in the days of Whitfield, in the days of Clark, and many of those days, but yet there were certain ones that seemed to have a further illumination or understanding of what God was doing. And yet it was not them that held this. Now notice John says, in the beginning was the Word. So with the first words of this Gospel of John, as he says, in the beginning, we see that John's task is to unveil or an apocalypsis that the other Gospels do not tell. Now, if you notice in reading the Gospel of John, John does not give us the natural earthly patronage of Jesus Christ. John does not begin with so-and-so begat so-and-so that begat so-and-so. Now, Mark, thank God, Mark brought it that way. Mark was a wonderful one. Matthew brought it that way. Luke had to mention some of the genealogy. But John does not begin with natural earthly parentage. John begins back in the eternity. Now, the other Gospels feel the need, of course, Matthew being a Jew, and they feel the need, Luke was a Greek, and Mark being a Jew, and John also a Jew, but yet he was so inspired by the Spirit of God, it's no wonder that the Gospel of John is the most attacked Gospel by critics that there are. They never attack Matthew or Mark or Luke like they attack John. Because John is truly the book of light. Right. Now watch this. So the other gospel writers felt the need, and no doubt they were inspired by God to do so, and we thank God for it, to be able to project the human ancestry of Jesus as the man. But none of the other biblical writers of the gospel were able to catch and understand what God allowed John to break into. So John, from the very first verse, notice how he said, in the beginning was the Word. So what John is going to tell us about is not about Mary. He's not going to tell us about Joseph. He's not going to tell us about Judas and his brothers. But he's going to tell us about the very nature and give us an insight into who God really is. So some of these Gospels would describe the glory that would be around him. Some would describe the visitation, the angel of God, Luke would, of course, to Mary and give us the description of that. But John was led by the Spirit of God to give us a view into the very person of God himself. Now, John in his Gospel brings three great striking definitions of who God really is. Now, he doesn't quite approach it like any of the rest of the writers. Every man, of course, deals in the way that God's gifted him to do it. And John certainly does the same way. And John says that God is spirit. And God is light. And God is love. Now, unlike Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which would project to us from the Old Testament concept of what God was, of their perception there, John will introduce, as he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John gives us then the characteristics of God. In this, we have the broadest and most comprehensive understanding of the depths of who God really is. Now, if you and I really understand God in light, God in love, and God in spirit, then we have the concept of what human beings can be able to fully comprehend God in the realm of time and mortality. Now, for many, they look at God, their concept of God is God is an old man, which sets up on the throne, and then God has this younger son, which is probably in his 30s, something like that. And then God, there's another being over there, and they're not sure if he's a spirit or if he's got a body or what. But they're all three talking things over. You know, so here's the Father, and here's the Son, and here's the Holy Ghost, and they're talking things over. Now, that's the Trinitarian. Then the two God people, which the message is infiltrated with some of them as well, the two Lord people, they think that God is this older man, and Jesus is this younger man. But Jesus is kind of really inferior to this old man. And God is the boss. And it's like God is the governor. And Jesus is the lieutenant governor. And God is the mayor. And Jesus is the vice mayor. And God is the president. And Jesus is the vice president. You know why? They don't know God in light, in love, and in spirit. Now, to fully comprehend who he is, if we look at these attributes by which John was inspired to introduce him in the realm of light and love and spirit, we will see that it is not an old man sitting upon a throne in the beginning. Because God did not have a visible, tangible type of form in the beginning to be able to project himself anyway. For he is the invisible God. Brother Donnie, how in the world can you believe such a thing? I know it's a miracle that I can, but I do. How in the world can you believe he never had a beginning? Well, I don't know. I just believe it with all of my heart. Anybody else in here believe it with me? Well, where did he come from? Well, he didn't come from nowhere. He always was. Before there was any place to come from, he was there. But yet this, whenever we look at it this way, so John is led of the Spirit of God. Now, John's way of taking us back into eternity, notice the way he frames this now, and again in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. So John's way of taking us back to eternity was to identify Christ as the Word. Now what, he runs a perfect parallel here in John 1 as to Genesis 1:1 as well. Now John is setting forth that there is a paradox or something that God is running down in the types from Genesis 1 to John 1, because Genesis 1 picks us up, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And we know that from that verse to verse 2 and on down to verse 3 and 7 inclusive, that it might have been thousands or even millions of years. Because we know when God created the heavens and the earth, that could have been millions of years before we pick up, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters and said, let there be light, and there was light. So in between verse 1 to where we pick up in verse 3, there could have been absolutely millions of years, because the earth was in a fallen state when John picks it up and he sees something has definitely happened. Now, what it was, a cataclysmic fall of Satan being on the earth as Lucifer the archangel, and the earth fell under his domain, the pre-Adamite world, he knows exactly what it was, but yet the Bible remains silent. So we look at it and know that John is now picking up on the order of the new creation. Y'all with me so far? Some of you, I don't know. You're just sitting there looking. I told you to pray now before you come to church. Now, John picks up and he runs a parallel from Genesis 1 to John 1:1, because he sees in view that God is now starting or beginning a new creation. And he's doing this by the very same substance which he made the first creation, and that was Christ the Word. Now remember, not the Bible, but Christ the Word. This is why you can believe this Bible and quote every word of it and be out of spiritual synchronization with Christ the Word. Because you can have this Bible and quote it and memorize it and say, oh, we preach the Bible at our church, the Bible. But do you preach Christ? You say, how in the world can people preach the Bible without Christ? Very easy. They don't have Christ, so they preach Christ without, they preach the Bible rather without Christ. You cannot preach the Christ of the Bible unless you have that Christ living in you. You cannot live this Christ of the Bible without that Christ, that Logos, that person of God living in you. You might take your life and conform to every scripture. Thou shalt not, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt pray, and thou shalt tithe, and thou shalt do this. But you're not Christ living on the earth till Christ comes in you. In the same category of importance, John brings this correlation from Genesis 1 to John 1. Now remember, John is inspired by the presence of God. Why is it that John has such a capability of being able to project this? Because the Logos himself in the person of Jesus is now anointing John's thinking. And John is rising. Don't be offended now. John is rising above Matthew. John is rising above Mark. He's rising above Luke. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now, notice this. So John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. For all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And then he comes on down a couple of verses and says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. So we go from light to a man. Why? Because light must be introduced by a man who is illuminated. Now, as our words are the conception of our thoughts. Now, listen carefully. Our words are the conception of our thoughts or birthed in our minds. So, Christ is the express image of the Father. Now, where we get in trouble, of course, is the Nicene Council. Once they begin to dissect the Word and be able to project into the Christian church idolatry in order that people will become idol worshipers, this is what creates such a dilemma with people trying to understand it now. But whenever we look back at the original concept of the church in the way that they believed it, you never find them baptized and in titles. You don't find them praying to a Father and then to a Son and the Holy Ghost. Absolute nonsense, because that's not the way that they understood or comprehended it. Now, let me read this with you, and you can read it as well. I thought it might benefit us together. Greek philosophers, in attempting to understand the relationship between God and the universe, spoke of an unknown mediator between God and the universe, naming this mediator Logos. Now, this term Logos was actually used for many, many years before John ever began to write. And yet it was something that started out with a man that began to try to comprehend. And they believed in God, but of course the concept of God was sealed in darkness and they really didn't understand Him or perceive Him. But yet they looked at God as being so wonderful, so holy. And they looked at the vastness of the universe, and the Greeks were up in science and all kinds of different things. And they looked at that and thought, there has to be a God. There has to be a great creator, but He is so wonderful and so large and so great. How could we ever be able to comprehend? Now it's amazing that this foreran the coming of the Logos, that they begin to look and search, and Hermeticus found or come up with this word called Logos, and he looked at it as if though that it was something in between the God of the universe that would be able to relate to man upon the earth. And now by the time John comes on the earth, it is a concept that is commonly used among them. Now notice he said John tells them that this mediator unknown to them is our Lord, and he uses the same name Logos. So John uses a term which was actually birthed, as far as historically, in the secular world. So here were great people of philosophy and great people of understanding the arts and culture and science and all this sort of thing. And they felt a need to be able to describe something that would go between them and God. So they come up with this term and they called it Logos. So when John goes to write, he says, in the beginning was the Logos. Now, can you imagine some of the saints in that day saying, isn't that a historical term? Isn't that a philosophical term? Isn't that a term? Is that in the Old Testament? Is that any word? Did Moses ever say that word? Did Jeremiah ever use that word? He did not. Did Zephaniah use that word? Haggai, Malachi? They did not. But it was as if though the Messiah's presence was nearing the earth, that God allowed this word to be used to forerun the advent that would be able to describe him from God's very own being. Now watch this. Our Lord is the Logos of God in the sense that He is the total concept of God. Deity speaking through the Son of God. Not in parts of speech as in a sentence composed of words, but in the human life of a divine person. Now, as the word logos actually has a double meaning, which means thought and speech. Now, don't separate you and I whenever we think of ourselves and whenever we have thoughts about doing certain things. And then maybe you're a woodworker or a sister that you come up with an idea about a certain pie and you've never read about this pie, but you think, my, I wonder how this would taste with this and that and that. And probably some of you sisters would come up with that and say, yeah, just like I thought, goes to the garbage. And then maybe there's some of your ideas you come up and say, wow, that was really good. And you spring it on your husband, your kids, and say, how'd y'all like it? Mama, that was really good. Now, what that pie was, well, that recipe, was the physical manifestation of a concept that began in your mind. Maybe you're mixing a little bit of butterscotch with a little bit of maple, a little bit of peppermint, a little bit of parsley, that sounds awful, don't it? And you're mixing this and that and the other. And now they say, no, that's too much coming. And this is too much of this and that and the other. And you've come up with it, and you present it to them, and they say, wow, we love this. This is absolutely wonderful. So what is that recipe? It is the product of your mind. Your mind actually gave birth. Now what is taking is through the thoughts and the concept of your mind, and you will project that the physical manifestation of them thoughts you gave birth to in a bowl or in a pan, and now you're presenting it to your children, and this is the manifestation of the recipe. Oh, don't you understand then? What is that? That pie was in your thoughts before it was a pie. Now, it was butterscotch, and it was maple, and it was this and that and the other, while it was in the shelf and in the bottle and in this compartment and that compartment. But you thought so much of this and so much of that and so much of that, and then you put it together, and then you presented it to your family. Hallelujah! We needed a Savior. We needed a Redeemer. And God pulled so much of Moses, so much of Jeremiah, so much of Ezekiel, so much of David, and He put it all together and presented it to His family on the table of redemption. And we ate of that and said, amen. Boy, that's the best pie I've ever eaten in my life. Redemption pie. Salvation pie. But let me ask you something now. Would you name that pie a different person than you? Now, if you're a Trinitarian, you will. Now, what people have done, they have taken the Logos of God and made it a separate person from the thought. So that's why they've got to have at least two in the Godhead. But yet you would never name that pie. Don't eat that pie, that's me. Ah! Don't eat that pie, you'll cut my arm off. Ah! Yet that pie is you, but it's not you. It is the essence of who you are, your mother. And you love to give things to your children, your family. So in essence, it is you. But in another way, it's not you. So it came from you. So it could come from you and project from your mind, you giving birth to this concept. And yet they could partake of that pie and you would never die. So the pie could lay down its life and the creator of the pie is still living on. This is why God in spirit could not die, but a projection from God's own being must be given so that man can be able to live. Y'all with me? You follow me? As best as you can, I know. Now, the Son of God then was called the Word because He is the channel by which God will make known His will and His way. In other words, Christ, the Logos of God, is the interpreter of God's mind. Now keep in mind, we're not just talking about the Bible. The Bible is part of it. So the Logos is the real personal God. The Word who was originally in the beginning. Now not as a boy. Not as a boy playing around the throne of God. Here's this old man, father, and there him and his son sitting there for eternity. And they're talking about, what do you think? Should we make an earth? I don't know, Daddy. I mean, I think it'd be a good idea. And Father God said, all right, I think it'd be a great idea too. Why do you think we want to make a universe? Yeah, Daddy, I believe it'd be good. I mean, let's show people how big we are and let's show them how great we are. And I said, yeah, I think it's a good idea. I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you the power here and you're going to be the Word. And since you're the second person of the Godhead, I'm going to give you the power and I want you to create. Okay, Daddy, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'm an obedient son. Some of you are laughing, but most of us used to believe it pretty close to that way. But when you look at what John projected him, that he was not another person. It was the same person. As the interpreter or the revealer of the hidden, mysterious God. And yet his thoughts are unlike yours and ours. I mean, I have new ones every day, don't you? I mean, I wake up in a new world every day. Wow. Just a new world. Man, I'll come up with this great idea to do this and that and the other. And tomorrow I'm thinking, that wasn't such a good idea after all. That wasn't really a good idea. I wish I hadn't done that. It cost me more time and it cost me more labor and I got my back's all pulled out of whack. Man, there's got to be a better way. That's us as mortals. But it's hard for us to imagine a being that has never had a new thought about anything. Man alive, I cannot fully comprehend such a thing. But a being who has never had a new thought, and yet his thoughts are there in him as substance. Many of my thoughts never materialize, thank God. Many of your thoughts never materialize. They pass through our mind, we ponder over it, and we get all caught up doing this, other than, boy, we just go right on and forget those thoughts. But God can never have a thought that does not have substance and material. As our words are the conception of our mind and our thoughts. So Christ is the very concept of God from the eternity. Now let's pick up on John again. Everybody okay? Y'all right with me? Y'all understand everything I've said so far? Thank God you ain't gonna lie. Well, at least you ain't gonna lie. St. John 1:1. In the beginning, now it was the Word, and the Word was with God. Not the Bible was with God. No. Amen. When God had a Bible in eternity, and God started reading and said, that's a good book. I'm telling you what, that is a good book. There was no written word. But yet in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So what was with God? What was it that was with God? Was it another person? Was it a book? Was it a similitude or a likeness of deity, a representation of deity? What was with God? Now this is where the message of each day comes into supernatural illumination. You see that people can have the Bible and still not have the Christ of that day. Now what? So John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So Christ did not, in some point in time, come into existence. Now here John gives and clarifies to us so that we would not think that it would be a separate being or another God, as it were, that Christ is the eternal Word. Before there was a Bible, there was Christ. When there is no more Bible, there will still be Christ. Is the rapture for your Bible or you? You mean to tell me you have more precedence than your Bible? You mean the Lord Jesus did not send the angels to gather your tapes? You mean our tapes should be left on the earth, our CDs, our MP3s and all that? The Jesus didn't say, go away in heaven to prepare a tape rack. And if I go away to prepare a tape rack, I will come back and receive your tapes unto myself, that where I am, your tapes may be also. I will go away to prepare a bookshelf in heaven. And if I go away to prepare a bookshelf, I will come back and get your books. He prepared a bookshelf, all right, in the form of mansions. Why? That's what these books live in. He's not coming at you a bunch of books to put on a bookshelf. He's coming at you human beings that will live in castles and palaces and walk down streets of gold and, hallelujah, sit by the river of life. Now watch, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, unless it be, should be supposed that God and the Word are a separate being, and the Word was God. There could be no stronger proof that Christ the Logos is the person of God in a further extension of His revelation. Now remember, don't make Him a separate person in the sense of a different deity or another God. Because it comes out of His mind and projects from His heart. Any more than a pie or a cake or a recipe or whatever more that would be the product of your hands, that would be another person of you. It is the product of who you are. Watch in St. John chapter 8 verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Now notice He didn't say from beside Him. So it wasn't that God had this great big old throne, really beautiful and illustrious and gems and gold and all that sort of thing. And over here was a smaller throne, a littler in size and not as wide and not as tall and wasn't quite as illustrious. And there was a younger man sitting there. And this younger man stands up before Father and says, I'll go down there and die for the world. I'll go down there and die for the people if you want me to do it. I really don't want to do it, but I'll do it. But this is the one who came from God Himself. So surely He would know better than a theologian would know. Surely, since Jesus come from there, He would be the best one to describe how He come from and where He come from and where He's going by than some theologian in a Bible school. Amen. Now listen at Christ Himself whenever He said, I proceeded forth. I came forth and came from God. I came from God, neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Now remember, oh, you said, but there's a plural. There is a plurality because we know that God reviews Himself or makes Himself known in multiplicity of attributes. So here Jesus identifies Himself and said, I didn't come of my own, but He sent me. He who? What was He and what was that which was sent? It was not two separate people. It was not two separate gods, but it was the pie set on the table, as it were, from the mind of Him who put the recipe together. Notice in St. John 16:27, for the Father Himself loveth you because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came out. Now notice, I did not come from beside God. I've been sitting beside God for eternity, but I came out from God. I proceeded forth from Him. I am the recipe for your salvation. I am the recipe for your redemption. He that eateth me and drinketh me shall have life. Verse 28, I came forth from the Father and am coming to the world, and I leave the world and go to the Father. Now John, when he relates this about the Logos, he says, in the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. Now notice he said the Word was God. So the Word was not a God. Or the Word was not similar to God or like God, but the Word was God. Oh, you say, Brother Darnell, that's easy to understand. It's because there's three persons in the Godhead, but they only make up one Godhead. How could that be? How would you like if there's three Donnie Reagans on the platform this morning preaching to you? Which one would you listen to? The one on your side? You folks in the middle, you'd listen to the guy in the middle. And you folks on this side, you'd listen to that guy. You imagine three of us. Lord, I can't imagine the world having three like this. And yet, that's the way folks have in their mind. Why? Because of the lack of understanding of light, spirit, and love. Now, in order to be able to overcome, we must walk in the light as Christ is in the light. Notice that he didn't say walk in the Bible as Christ is in the Bible. But if we're going to overcome, we've got to walk in the light as he is in the light. How is he in the light? In the way that he is illuminating himself for the day that you live in. Now look, you can be able to believe and say, oh hallelujah, I listen to Brother Branham every day. I tell you one thing, I believe the message of the hour, and still not have Christ. Still not have the illumination of Christ in your life, because you are only an actor. You're only one who's taking the natural side of the message. I believe every word Brother Branham said. I'll tell you one thing. Yes, sir, buddy, I believe it. But unless Christ is in you, you're no different than the denomination. As a matter of fact, you're probably worse. Now what? So his divine essence is revealed in the Logos, which is the Word. Can I have a little bit more of your time? He was with God and existed in God as the eternal. So Christ is the eternal self of God. Listen now. Christ is the eternal self of God. Christ is the eternal self of God. He is the eternal self of God. So it is the essence of God's character which the Old Testament only held in part. Now it was him that was revealed here and there and there. What is it? Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Now John, then he says, in the beginning was the Word, which was Christ, the Logos. In the beginning was not Jesus. Jesus had a day he started, and Jesus had a day he died. But Christ never started and never did die. The angel told Mary, thou shalt call his name Jesus. The angel didn't tell her, call his name Jesus Christ. His name was Jesus. He was Jesus for many years. He could not be Jesus Christ until the Father, Spirit God, came in him in the fullness of the Godhead. Then he could gain the title Jesus Christ. Jesus Christos, or Jesus Anointed One. Come on now. He was Jesus the Word. He was Jesus Isaiah 9. Jesus Isaiah 7:14. But he was not Jesus Christ. You might be bride this and bride that. I don't want to just be bride. I want to be anointed bride. You might be bride in seed form, but until you receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost, in this day you are not bride Christ. Woo! Hallelujah! You can only be bride Christ when the person of the Logos, that very same God, lives in you that lived in Jesus. Let's read, if you would, in Psalms 33:6. Now keep this in mind, that Christ is the eternal self of God, or Christ is the revealer of God. Psalms 33:6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Now, when most people will read this text of Scripture, or this verse, they will read this, and in their mind, human conception will take this word, and it will build an image of what they think in their mind. Now, they take the Scripture into their mind. Their mind has the ability to perceive if they're mentally there and everything, and there's nothing wrong with them physically, I mean. And then they will take this, so in their mind, they will take this into their mind, and they will begin to read this verse of Scripture. Oh, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. So they got this old God there, this old man, however they picture him in their mind. And he's sitting there, and they have him sitting on the throne. And then out of his mouth, he speaks these words. And then out of his mouth comes breath. And God goes, whew. Now, why do you do that? Because that's the way you'd make a universe. So you're relating to God in the way as if you were God as a human. But you're backwards. You're as a human trying to look like God. But God was a God and wanted to become a human. So then when we read the word, if we're not careful, we will read it like a human in the reverse process in our mind, read it like a human and trying to understand God. That's why we miss so many things. The only way we can really understand it is to be birthed by the thinking of God and read it like God in human form. Woo! Lord, have mercy. What a mouthful that was. This is the mind of Christ. That's the supernatural part that God gives to us. It gives us the ability to read and understand when our flesh don't understand at all. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. So instead of it being an old man there, let's picture it in the form of Amorphe, God. So it's not an old man on a throne, but the person of the word which projects out of this brilliant, bright light, which can only be visible when he desires to take off forms and shapes and colors. Out of his being comes this pie and sets on the table of creation. Now it is him, but in one sense of the word, it's separate from him. Because it came out of him. But it's the part that came out from him which will be the instrumentality by which he will create by the word. Now, when you read it this way, by the word of the Lord, by Christ were the heavens made. And all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Who? Christ. Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. The word express is character. The instrument used in engraving or carving, a mark or figure burned in or stamped on, an impression, the exact expression, the image of any person or thing, a marked likeness, precise reproduction in every aspect, a facsimile or a fax. Now watch, Paul then says that he was the brightness of his glory and the express image. So here God, the invisible God, formed out a stamp of all the invisible characters and traits that he was, and he formed it into a visible stamp and called it Christ. Amen. Then God would use the stamp to make the universe. God would use the stamp to make the earth. God would use the stamp because it in its exact expression of that which is invisible. You understand? So Elohim the Eternal was invisible, but the stamp gives visible image to the invisible God. He is the brightness of his image and the glory and the express image of his person. Then God would use that in the first creation. It would be the first one to take on tangible, visible, manifested form. Years ago in Kentucky, whenever we set the church up there, I got incorporated through the state of Kentucky, nonprofit. 501c3. I also set it up where I could license ministers. Be able to give them a license to go into prisons and hospitals and all that sort of thing. So different brothers in the message all over the world have one of these licenses. A little piece of paper like this, a little ID card that they can take with them. Donnie Reagan Revivals Incorporated. Well, in order in the state of Kentucky for it to be legal, I had to have what they call articles of incorporation. I also had to have a seal made. And then I would have to have a gold or a yellow or whatever color that I would want, silver seal, which I would put on the bottom of that certificate. Now, those certificates are in a certain drawer in my office at home. Anybody could walk in that drawer, pull it out, make it out to John Doe, Mary Doe. You make one out to your dog if you want to. But it will not be legally recognized by the state of Kentucky or the rest of the United States unless it has my seal on the bottom of it. Now, I keep my seal in a total separate drawer than I do away from my Bible. I mean my license. So my license is written down and anybody can pick one up in a motel room. And thank God for the Gideons who put them here and there and there. And they're able to pick it up and read it. And my, they're able to understand it. Write their name maybe on the license and say, I'm a Christian. But it don't mean that they are a sealed document. Because the seal is separate from reading this. Glory! The seal.
seal can only be applied by Him who knows the secret of where the seal is, and that's me. Carol don't know where it is. My daughters don't know where it is. My son-in-laws don't know where it is. The trustees of the church don't know where it is. I and I alone know where the seal is. But when I get ready to make a license the way I did the other day and send it overseas to a brother, and I put his name on there, and I take that little yellow seal and put it on the lower left-hand corner, and then I'll take that metal piece out and I will encrimp it. And what that seal does, it encrimps upon that seal. As a notary public, those of you who are, you know what I'm talking about. It crimps not only on the front side, but on the back side. It's all through that paper. And that paper takes on the image of the seal. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed to the day of your redemption. I'm talking about your name being wrote on. I'm talking about the original author of this document taking you into His hands. And this is the way I do it. I slide it right on the edge and I press it down. And you know how I know it's took? When I slide the seal out and I look on the front and on the back, and this paper says the same thing the seal says. So God needed a tool, an instrument, by which, in order to make impressions. As Paul said it this way, for who he foreknew, he previously marked out copies of the likeness of the Son of Himself. Notice then in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by Christ. Well, it's everything in the Bible says the Word of God. That's what I said. The worlds were not framed by this Bible. Lord, have mercy. Some of y'all's going to see this. Yours were. The worlds was not framed by this Bible. Man was not made by this Bible. Man was made by Christ. Well, in the new creation, how will man be made again? They will not be made just by memorizing Bible verses. They must be made by the same Christ. Through faith we understand that the worlds. So you mean there's more than one? Brother Donnie, reckon there's life on other planets? I have no idea, but I do know this. If there is, when it's all said and done, they're going to have to come here to live. Because we get the city. We get the King. He died here. How do you know He didn't die nowhere else? Because He winds up here. This is His eternal abiding place. We understand that the worlds were framed by Christ, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. What's He doing? Reflecting the very epitome and creation of what He is. The things which appear are not made of those things which, when they come into existence and you look at it, oh my, there's a tree and there's dirt and there's, where'd it come from? Well, it was invisible before. Where did it come from? This is part of the recipe. And God needed a seal. God needed a character. God needed something to burn on the earth. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by Christ. And you see, this is where it becomes deceiving. Well, I've accepted Christ as my Savior, so I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being born again. A new creation. Whew. You see, it was Christ that Moses and the 70 elders saw when they come up on the mountain. And the Bible says they saw God. And it were the pavement under His feet. And it was Christ when Moses was hid in the cleft of the rock. And he moved his hand back. It was Christ. Amen. That Moses met. And called him Melchizedek.
It was not Jesus. It was Christ. You follow me? It was Christ that began to give David the words in the Psalms. It was Christ that said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was not David. How could David act that out? And he was acting, and I know some of you criticize me because of the drama. Don't you understand that it was Christ and David that dramatized the crucifixion? Before it was ever Bible, it was Word. Don't you understand that same Lord Jesus can anoint men down through the ages, and He has done. And they will not only preach the Word, but that Word becomes such a drama in their life. They can take you to the cross and you're standing there with it. You feel the pain in your body. You know what I'm talking about? You know who does that? It's not because that preacher learned drama in school. It's not because he's a Hollywood actor. It's because it's the same Christ that anointed David to act it out. That same Lord Jesus anoints His servants today. And they become an active part of that Word. They are Christ. It was He, Christ, that revealed Himself. Hebrews 1:1, God, who at sundry times and at divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So if you lived in any one of them days and said, I ain't hearing no prophet, you wouldn't hear God then. Because God, through the mark, the ability of caricature to impress, Christ chose prophets. So if you wanted to know who the enemies was in the days of Moses, you'd have to go to the man who had the message. Now if you want to go over to Troas and fight the Trojans, and you want to go over to Tyrrhenians and fight the Tyrrhenians and go here and there, you're out of synchronization for the message of the day. Moses was led of the Spirit of God to declare war on Moab from generation to generation. That's how they knew who the enemy was. So they come, they'll be identified. There's all kinds of Philistines and all kinds of people that was left in the land. But Moses, under the leadership of the Spirit of God, said, this is your enemy. People say, why don't Brother Donnie preach on this? And how come this brother don't preach on that? Because I don't listen to you to tell me who my enemies are. I listen to the Most High. Every preacher, every man of God needs to listen to find out who our enemies are in this day, instead of us picking our enemies. Well, I don't like that man. I don't like that man. That ain't our choice. We need to listen to the Spirit of God to see what to preach against. That's Christ. You see why some folks and some preachers in this day don't preach against nothing? Do they preach against sin? Absolutely not. They preach against the denomination? Of course not. They preach the homosexuality and against the problems of the age? No, sir. They ain't no way they're going to do it. Why? They're not anointed with Christ. Amen. Message preachers the same way. Some of them never make nobody mad. They ain't never going to preach on this and preach on that and preach on that. You know why? They're not anointed by Christ. They might preach the message, but they don't know who the enemy is in this hour. Oh, you got quiet on me. There's only one way for us to know who the enemy is. We've got to go to the impression. Now watch how Paul makes this transition in verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. His Son. His Word. His Christ. Not another person. No more than that pie is another person of Him. Has spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. So Jesus is by no means inferior. If He made the worlds, that's a pretty hefty task. How long has it been since you made one?
us. Why do people come up with this concept, Pentateuch, God? So when they read scriptures like this, because of the conception of man here trying to understand God there, instead of being born from here and reading it from a heavenly perception, they come up with two. Notice, John 1 and 3. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Now let's watch Christ proceed from the mouth of God. Genesis 1, 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So the first time that we see light come into visibility. Remember, the sun, the moon, and the stars were already created at this stage, just after the cataclysmic fall has happened upon the earth. And darkness is upon the earth, and there's a great mist between the stars and the moon and the sun and all that in the earth. So God said, let there be light. Out of this invisible being God comes the character. And Christ. And God said. So God said is Christ. You understand? God said is Christ. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So if God said there's going to be a bride, you're wasting your time trying to stop it. If God said there's a Malachi 4, you're beating your head against a stone wall trying to stop it. Are you going to get a headache and a bloody head? Probably. Notice, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, what is this? This is the display of what we commonly term sonship. So it's not another being. It's not a little boy. Well, Father said, go over our son now and create the moon and the universe. Okay, Father, I'll be right back. Here, I'll give you some power. Here. There's creative power, here's universe power, and here's neutrons and atomic power and nuclear fission and all this stuff. I'll give all this to you because you ain't got the power that I've got, so I'll let you have it. You go over and use it. Okay, Papa, I'll be right back. But out of God's mouth went Christ. Now remember, God ain't got a mouth like you and I. He's invisible. So out of the invisible come a character, a stamp, an imprint of God's signature. Christ is God's signature. Now watch in verse 4. And God saw the light and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called. Now watch, here's Christ again, the Word. God called the light day and the darkness. He called night and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made. So God is saying and God is making and God is making and God is saying. And then God created, and then God made, and then God said. Where's it all coming from? Sonship. Christ, the Word. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth, Christ, Christ, Christ. Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. Verse 20. And God said, what do we see? Sonship. Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. Man, fowl that fly above the earth in her open firmament of the heaven. And God created. Now God has said and God has made and God has said. Now we find the first time this word, God created. So all of this work. Now Moses condensed this book. There's absolutely millions of species being created in these short verses. This is being so condensed of the molecular structure of botany life and animal life and all of these things that are happening. All the things from the lowest polywog right up to the most complex believing creature that there is on the earth. And yet God is doing all that. How? By sonship, Christ. Logos. You mean God did all that without a Bible?
Look out, devil. I'm just warning you right now. We've made some pretty bad havoc on hell over the years by having the Bible and the message. Time we get loaded up with the Bible and the message in Christ, woo, look out, hell. A threefold cord is not easily broken.
Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature. God said, Christ. Verse 25, and God made the beast of the earth, Christ. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our... Wait a minute. God said us an hour.
He did, didn't he? I see you made it past the third grade. Congratulations. But did you make it past the third grade in deity school? Because us an hour don't always mean this. Jesus has a strange way of multiplication, division, and subtraction. Jesus said it like this. I and my Father are one. Well, they always taught me in school, 1 + 1 = 2. That ain't the way Jesus adds. I graduated from deity school. This is the oneness I want you to get. Where at that day, you can say, I and my Father. This is the way you see it now. But when you will be able to clash and get out of deity school and graduate, where you can say with the same power of the Logos, I and my Father are one. Let me find a place to break out of this cycle of eternity and we'll try to land. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. So if there's more than one, if he said, let us make man in our image, oh, well, then man will be made like God. He looks sort of like God and then sort of like Jesus, only one image. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. That's the image of God. A man and a woman in the same unit. That's Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And God blessed them. And God said, Christ speaking, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Adam never carried out this Logos from God. So Christ had to repeat it again at the head of the new creation when the new Eve is standing on the earth. He would give them the power to say, whoever sins you retain, they are retained. And whoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Walking in the light. Let's stand. Now, I would like for you to repeat at me the last 45 minutes that I've been talking to you. Can't? Really? Well, could you hit it up in a very simple term? And say maybe something like this. I and my Father are one. Hallelujah. Creation means causing to exist that which had no previous being. causing to exist that which had no previous being. So we were the parts of the recipe in His mind before the world began, yet we were not all together in form in the eternal. But when we heard the message of the hour and recognized the very word of God was eagle food, we heard from our theophany. Then what does it do? It ties us in not only to just memorizing the Bible. Thank God for that. Thank God for those of you that can quote the word and remember it well. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. I wish everybody could if they'd use it in the right way. But what happens to that then when you get old and your memory starts slipping? Does that mean you can't overcome as well? So when your memory is at your prime, that's when you overcome the greatest. And then when you start deteriorating in your brain cells, you no longer live an overcoming life. Don't you see the word being burst in you is even more than memorization? Hallelujah. John says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Christ, the Logos of God. Oh, children, maybe we walk out of here today. You say, Brother Donnie, I'm not really sure I understand everything you said. Good. I'm glad. You see, God sometimes wants to come among us and spread out His wings and just flutter them. And we're just mesmerized by Him. Wow. So He'll come in sometimes on an anointed preacher and it goes 40,000 miles over the top of our heads and we just sit there and say, about the time you figure out you've got God in the box, He tears down the box. I'm glad He does that though. I'm glad my box is terrible downable. Children, don't just take the Bible. Don't just take the message. You must have that which was in the beginning. Brother Bram says it this way, and souls that are in prison now. Now the mind that was in Christ Jesus is in every believer. There is the soul. Think about it. And he says in invisible union, there's only one form of eternal life. And that was you. He says you don't remember it. No more than you remember being in the loins of your father. But you were there in him. In germ form. And he goes on to say, when Jesus hung on the cross, we were in his loins. When he died, I died with him. When he got up, I rose with him. So whatever Jesus is doing in this hour, I will not be left out. I am part of him. Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're part of him? Amen. Let's just raise our hands in the presence of the great Creator.
Thank you, Jesus.
Paul says he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Hallelujah. May that great Logos of God, not the second person of a Godhead, not one weaker in designation and power and authority, but that person in a visible form. What is Jesus? The visible form of the invisible God. The firstborn of every creature. Hallelujah. Is it any wonder that he stood there before he ascended and breathed on his disciples and said, receive ye What is it? The same Christ that out of His breath came the birth to the stars. Out of the mouth of Christ came the birth of the new universe. The stars of God. Every star that we will look at tonight and next week, everyone you've ever looked at all of your life, are the same ones David saw, Paul saw, Christ saw. So the birth of the new universe is not a new world out there necessarily, but sons of God. Stars, progeny, the Messiah's brothers. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, who were we poor mortals that we would be allowed to sit in the gates and the courts of the King? Who are we, Lord God, El Shaddai, that we would be given a seat at your table today to be able to hear such things? We thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that my ears have been given the heart, the ability to hear, my heart, the ability to perceive, my spiritual eyesight. Lord, as the illumination of light of the sun or the moon or the stars or even incandescent lights in our home or fluorescent or LEDs now, as it were, and CFL lights, the reason we turn them on is so we can see. See how to read, see how to get from one place to another. This is why we need the illumination on your word. We're in a world of darkness. We don't know which way heaven is. Is north, north, or south, south, or is west, east, or east, west. But if somehow we can turn a light on and find a compass, then we'll know where we are and we can see where we're going. So we don't just need the Bible, but we need light on the Bible. What good is a Bible if we'd be sitting in a darkened room and there's no light upon it to help us to read? We could have novels laying beside our chair. Or we could have biographies and autobiographies and National Geographics and maps and the Bible and message books and all kinds of things laying around us everywhere. Well, we could be totally surrounded by such vastness of knowledge and understanding. But if we're sitting in a darkened room, what good would it do? Even if we reached down and picked up one of those books and we couldn't read it, what good would it do? But if we would reach over and turn on a light, then that which was obscure, that which was in darkness, was it that the light brought a new book? No. It only illuminated that which we could not see or perceive or understand. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the light of this day. I didn't need a new Bible nor a new version of the Bible. I needed the light turned on beside me. Thank God there was a man here who could turn on the light. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't fear, little sister. You remember the story that Brother Bram tells us when this family went down in those caverns in Carlsbad, New Mexico. And it was so deep and so dark, there was no light from the outside. And a little boy and a little girl was standing there. And the guide reached over and turned the light off. And the little girl was terrified. But her little brother saw the guide switch it off. And the little girl was screaming hysterically. And the little brother grabbed a hold of her hand and he said, "Don't fear, little sister. There's a man here who can turn on the light." And Brother Benham takes that story and he said, "Little bride, there's darkness all around you and trouble everywhere. But," he says, "don't fear, little sister. There's a man here who can turn on the light. The Holy Ghost is here." Aren't you glad that man, Christ Jesus, is still here? Brother Benham is gone. Many of our predecessors are gone. But the Lord Jesus, the Illuminator, is still here. Do you need it turned on in your life today? Maybe you're sick, you got a disease, an affliction, a weakness, a besetting sin, trouble in your home, whatever it is. You've got the books laying all around you. You've got the Bible laying in your lap, and you've read it, but it's not been illuminated. What you need is a rhema word from God. Amen. To where the light chain being pulled or the switch. Hallelujah. You know, I've got several light switches in my house. I'm a mechanical, electrical sort of a fella. So I've got some light switches. I like to use them on my grandkids or people who come. And I'll say, "Lamp Commander! Lights on." And them lights will go, "Phew." And I'll say, "Lamp Commander!" And it'll, "Meep, meep," which means it recognized my voice. Then it will wait for my command, and I will say, "Lights off." It's controlled by my voice. But that little bitty old tiny sensor, which was very, very cheap, I had to train it with voice training. Because the first few times it didn't understand my high educated English. If he could have talked, he'd say, "What are you saying? Speak up, man." But after a little bit, he caught on. Glory. The spoken word still speaks today. And whenever you need a little bit of illumination, he says, "Light Commander, me, me." Lights on his heart. Lights on her heart. Lights on her pathway. Light here. And all of a sudden, the path which was so dark and obscure, and you're feeling all alone, all of a sudden, your path is illuminated. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Harry, sing something for us. Let's just worship together. I know you're probably hungry and you got your lunch. Oh, I'll tell you one thing. I'm eating just fine myself. Let's just worship just a little bit in the presence of this living Christ before we go. Praise be to God. If you got a need today, I'll be glad to pray for you. But let me tell you one thing. Many times many of you folks come up here for prayer for things for me to pray for you for. The prayer is not going to get it. You pray for me, I'll get closer to God. Me praying for you to get closer to God is not necessarily going to be the answer for you getting close to God. The prophet of God has told us how to get closer to God for us to read our Bible and pray. Me praying for you is not going to give to you what you know you should do. Coming up for prayer is wonderful. It's wonderful as long as they're coming up for the right reason. Prayer is not a shortcut to get us the things that we want from God. You might need strength to help you fulfill it. That's perfectly in line. But don't ask me or these other preachers to pray for you that God will give you something automatically that you've got to work on in yourself. Sometimes you don't need a preacher to lay hands on you. What you need is the voice commander to illuminate your path. Open my heart, Lord. But the problem is, friends, many of you got so much confidence in me. You got confidence in these other preachers. You need a little confidence in your own walk with God. And who you are as a son or daughter of God. God don't just hear my prayers. He hears yours if you're a son or daughter of God. God don't just hear the prayers of these preachers. But he hears you. Amen. Do you believe that? Let's just raise our hands. Close our eyes. In the presence of him who said, "Let there be light," and had them bursted. Neutrons begin to come out of it. Nuclear fission divided. The fog began to divide and separate. Lift over the earth. The sun, the moon, and the stars, which is already there in existence, began to be divided by Christ. Maybe you feel so down today. You know how gray days can do us, cloudy days on the outside. Hard to stir up a smile sometimes on a cloudy day. That's the way we feel in our lives sometimes. It's so gray, it's so dismal, it's so dark. You don't need to get resaved. The Logos just needs to whirl down through your life and let the fog be lifted from around you. Maybe something devastating has happened to you. You just feel like you have no more reason, purpose to live. I don't want to live no longer. Oh, may he who spoke it in the beginning turn on the light around your life today. May Christ Jesus illuminate you, Miss Earth. There's still seeds in you. There's days to live, purposes to fulfill, things to be accomplished. You just need the mist rolled away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Let's open our hearts right now in the presence of the King. Señor. Let Him pass right among us. Let Him pass right over the internet. Let Him pass over into the fellowship hall. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, I just sense His being. Glory to God. Lord Jesus, we worship You, Lord. Whirl down among us, as it were, Lord God. That amber light pass among us. Roll away the mist, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Shine on me.
Yes, Lord.
Shine,
oh God. Shine on me, Jesus.
Me.
Yes, Lord.
Let the light.
Hallelujah.
From the lighthouse. Shine.
Hallelujah.
On me.
Let it be your prayer now.
Shine
on me, Jesus.
Oh, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Shine.
Sing it, children.
On me.
Oh, praise God. Let it shine on me. Shine deliverance, Lord, let the light from the lighthouse, let it shine. Let's sing it again now. Oh, let it shine on me. Lord Jesus. Oh, shine on me, Jesus. Shine on the sick, Lord. You're a miracle worker. You're a healer, Lord Jesus. You're omnipotent. You're El Shaddai. You're Jehovah Jireh. Oh, hallelujah. We bless Your name, Lord God.
Shine.
Oh, shine, sweet Jesus. Shine, sweet Jesus. Shine in this auditorium. Shine in the fellowship hall. Shine in the nursery, Lord. Shine over in Norway, in Africa, down in Georgia. Shine, Lord God. Oh, let it shine on me. Oh, shine. Shine on me. With the light of the light. Let it shine on me. Oh, let it shine on me. Yeah, Lord, let it shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse, let it shine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Repeat these words after me, please. Lord God, I receive Your word today.
I believe
with all of my heart You have spoken to us. Let this word be manifested in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You believe what you want. To me, the message of this day is the recipe so much of Luther, the truth of Wesley, the truth of Pentecost, the truth of Calvin, the truth of Knox, the truth of Finney, the truth of Moody. God sent the master chef, the seventh generation. The master chef, what's he doing? He's gathering all the workable parts in this recipe. Amen. To make what? A climax and a rapture. So God bless you. Enjoy your pie. Hallelujah! Enjoy your seventh angel pie. Amen. It's the best of Luther. It's the best of Wesley. It's the best of Pentecost. All them truths that have been gathered together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Oh, Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise Him. Oh, He's so wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. I hope you walk out here with a pile over your face. I hope it's in your hair. I hope it's in your fingers. I hope it's in your feet. I hope every aspect of your life is covered over with seven angel pie. God bless you. Remember me this weekend coming up. I got a meeting up in Lima, joint meeting with three churches there. Be some other churches visiting as well. So desire your prayers there. Myself, Brother Craig Boer, Brother Wayne Lawson will be up there next weekend. So remember us. Brother Andrew Glover will be here on Wednesday night. Lance will be speaking Saturday night. Brother Darrell will be here on Sunday morning. God bless you. Amen. Go in the fear of God. You love Him with all your heart. In this case, I think it'd be okay to eat your dessert first. Enjoy. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He, saving.